we present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a tweet from Tynan Weir Fire and Rescue Service, read by Neil Sleet.
Crews from West Denton have responded to a report of a house fire in Throckley, Newcastle. Thankfully, this was a rubbish fire.
Our thanks to Mark and Anne-Marie Dunwillows for spotting that piece of good news. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Lucy Porter? And opposite them, on my left, comedian and actress Kerry Godleman and Hugo Rifkin. So, Jeremy, whose report has succeeded in identifying some failings?
This is a report by Dame Janet Smith. She's reported on the BBC's rather egregious handling of the Savile and Stuart Hall cases. She's also reported on Harold Shipman and found against, I believe. So... She does have some credibility in these matters. There was a time when the BBC, in fairness, to defend the BBC, for a long time, the senior management weren't aware that the BBC makes radio programmes, which is why some of us are grateful for the fact that anarcho-syndicalists were given our own series for quite a long period of time before that was discovered. But it meant that there was a lacking culture of duty of care towards younger people who entered into the building, and evil predators were able to get away with what they wanted to do to them. And the Stuart Hall, not Stuart Hall, the Lord Hall, the new...
This is not the day to confuse them, Jeremy.
Lord Tony Whoops. Hall said that Savile was hiding in plain sight, which is another way of saying... He wasn't hiding. Everyone knew what he was doing but didn't care. I mean, I think, in fairness to Savile, he was trying to make it abundantly clear. I don't think he wasn't... I mean, I'm not saying that everyone looks like a sex offender should be accused of being one. Otherwise, Bargain Hunt would have been taken off the air years ago. I mean, he did have cover, you know, but you'd think a close association with the Roman Catholic Church wouldn't be that good a cover, really, would you? You know, he spent every Christmas for 11 years at Chequers with Margaret Thatcher, along with Augusto Pinochet and Frank Field. But sadly, we didn't get him while he was still alive.
No, it is. It's a very difficult subject. But Lord Hall, he stood on this very stage and said the reported serious child abuse was a sobering day for the BBC before sodding off, letting them plonk a few tables down and getting us on to tell jokes about current affairs. So,
I find it completely believable that for all these many decades, no one at the BBC noticed that Jimmy Savile was a paedophile, because for exactly the same period of time, no one at the BBC noticed he was rubbish at being on television. And he's just a relic of this really weird time where the people who are on television, it's like they've been plonked there by some higher authority. And you watch anything that he was in, you're like, what is going on? What are we supposed to like about this? I mean, he's not Anton Deck, is he? So far as we know.
Actually, Hugo, as someone who has been employed by a beleaguered media organisation, have you got any tips for us at the...
No, well, I mean, as I actually said on this show last time, I'm completely prepared to regard every employee of the BBC as being as far away from this whole scandal as the BBC regarded every employee of News International during the phone hacking scandal. So enjoy that one.
Quietly, this is Dame Janet Smith's report into the Savile affair, which has criticised the BBC for systematic failings of management. Director-General Tony Hall apologised unreservedly on behalf of the corporation, surprising those of us who were under the impression that contrition had been outsourced to the regions. According to the report, the allegations never reached senior management at the time, probably because it's hard to hear properly over the whir of a golf cart. This is, of course, a difficult subject for us to cover. We don't want to be accused of avoiding the subject. Equally, we don't want to be accused of trivialising it. Basically, what we all want to do is move on as soon as possible to something lighter, like telling a string of jokes about the Prophet Muhammad. 2 points to Jeremy. Lucy, who's been involved in in-out infighting?
It's posh blokes fighting. Should be an Olympic sport. So on Sunday... The nation was gripped. I couldn't concentrate on the Archers omnibus because we were all waiting to hear whether Boris would be in or out. Boris, normally in. People. But He came out, out. He didn't come out. He came out. He was out. He's out. So the EU referendum, everyone was waiting to see which way Boris would jump, and he came out and said he is in favour of a Brexit, leading someone to call him a copper-bottomed, double-dealing, hypocritical little swear word. And that was from a Tory MP. That's what your own side are saying about you. That was Gerry Hayes. So there's been this Cameron versus Boris thing. Everyone says that this is a rivalry that started at school, which I love the fact that apparently the way you sort things out at Eton, if you've got a beef with someone, is go, right, one day I am going to be Prime Minister, right? Yeah, well, one day I'm going to be Mayor of London and I'm going to sort you. Like, you know, at our school, you used to throw someone's bag onto a bus shelter and call them a slag.
Children and ladies really like that.
How do you know how he let Cameron know that he was what way he was going to vote?
Didn't he text him?
He texted him.
Very modern. Use an emoji. I so wish he used an emoji. I wish there was a Boris emoji with his silly hair. I like the friendship thing that they've got going, like the feuding. It's kind of like male friendships are different to female friendships because men are a bit more laid back, aren't they? Like women are a bit more intense about their friendships. Like if a woman rings a friend and she doesn't hear back from her within a day or two, she'll ring her again, leave another little message. Like, did you get my message, babe? Because I did ring you. You didn't get back to me. I'm just checking you're right. That's like. But men are a bit more laid back, aren't they? It's like, all right, well, you decided to go up against me about Europe, whatever.
The Tory party is falling apart. There was some dinner party. So Michael Gove's wife wrote a delightful account of a dinner party in the Daily Mail. It sounded bloody lovely. So they went round to Boris Johnson's house and Yevgeny Lebedev, the proprietor of The Independent, was there. And for most of the evening, it seems that Boris Johnson and Michael Gove listened to Oliver Letwin shouting at them on a conference call while the wives and Yevgeny Lebedev made small talk about the hors d'oeuvres.
Sarah Vine's article was fantastic. She was writing in her capacity as the being married to Michael Gove correspondent of the Daily Mail. I think she was the first ever, actually. I think that column replaced Lady Mosley's gardening tips. It was this achingly twee account of their social life. And she was so sad because if they fall out with the Camerons, all those pauper-baiting weekends won't happen anymore. And it was just on and on about supper. Why can't you just have your tea and shut up?
I sort of have started to like Michael Gove a little bit more, not politically, but personally. I know. Shut up. Oh, that's unpopular, isn't it?
He does have a sort of aura about him, I think. I'd be up for playing him in a docudrama.
Yes.
Back when I wrote the gossip diary in The Times about 10 years ago, I once had an email from a reader which said I was in a corner shop by Highbury Corner and someone came running in and said, I need some eggs right now, give me the eggs, I'll give you the money later, give me the eggs. So the reader said this seemed interesting, so I followed him outside. And I saw Boris Johnson getting out of a taxi. And this man started pelting Boris Johnson with eggs. At which point Boris Johnson, I think, ran at him, fell over in a girlish way, and then got back into the taxi, and the man kept throwing eggs at the taxi, and the taxi drove away. So I saw this, and I thought, well, I should probably check that by phoning Boris Johnson to check it's true. Or I could just put it in the paper. So I put it in the paper, word for word, cut and paste, in the paper, just the email. And so, you know, say with all the sort of responsible journalistic caveats, such as, I don't know if this is true, and things like that, which we're totally allowed to do, that's fine. and the next morning, Boris Johnson phoned me at work and said, this is unacceptable what you've done. And I was like, was it not true? Did you not get hit by eggs? And he goes, you know, perfectly well I got hit by eggs because you paid someone to follow me and hit me with eggs. And I was like, well, that's, I mean, firstly, I don't have the budget. It's a good idea. But I think maybe that's how he behaved as a journalist. And I said, I assure you I didn't. And he said, well, I'm sure you did. I'm completely confident you did. So I said, well, I'm very sorry, but I definitely didn't. And I put the phone down and then put that conversation in the paper the next day. and since then, pretty much every time I've seen him, because I run into him occasionally at sort of media things, he's like, you're the bastard with the eggs.
Percussively, this is the ongoing debate over national talking point come prescription tranquilizer, the EU referendum, which has been causing huge ructions between the two most powerful political forces in the country, the Conservative Party and another bit of the Conservative Party. Boris Johnson has thrown his lot in with the Brexit camp. This has infuriated David Cameron, who, in a carefully coded attack, told the House of Commons, now is not the time to be a two-faced blonde bastard. Also throwing their weight behind the Brexit camp are George Galloway and George Galloway's hat, the more significant player in that particular partnership. I wasn't clear what a Brexit camp is, but apparently this year's Brexit camp will take place in a caravan park in Kent in June. It's £200 per pitch, and that includes a Saturday night beef Wellington cookout, a night of harrowing performance poetry from Teresa Villiers, and as much butane as you can conceivably burn. There are face painting and tattoo stalls. Please check which queue you're joining. And do remember to bring appropriate outerwear. 2 points to Lucy. Kerry, who is baying for a camp closure?
Obama wants to close Guantanamo. He wants to get this done. He's been meaning to get it done from the minute he became the president, and now he's coming to the end of that. And it's like when you move house, you've just got stuff to tie up, haven't you, before you get on. Before I moved, I had to clear the loft out, and it was a real drag. I didn't get round to it at all, although there was no, you know, human rights violations going on up there. There was a water tank, but no waterboarding. So he's got to get that done.
What do Congress think about it?
They don't want it. They've stopped him from doing it. That's their Congress are blocking it all the way, aren't they? And Trump wants it. Trump's like, we're going to load it up. That's what he said. I think Yosemite Sam is writing his speeches. Rootin' tootin', Malk in the West! You're like, whoa, I don't know what he's saying. Truly terrifying.
He said that he said this weird thing about how he loves the poorly educated, and he said we're smarter than other people, obviously, and we're more loyal. And I looked up his education, and he went to two private Ivy League universities, which possibly does mean that he is very poorly educated. But his whole life, you know, he had this sort of riches to riches, you know, struggle of bravely overcoming the fact that he was one parent away from a real estate empire.
Do you know the exact rhetoric then he said about Guantanamo? He said he wanted to load up Guantanamo with bad dudes.
Like Huggy Bear.
I don't know what bad dudes... I thought bad dudes meant cool chaps. I'm absolutely not with the Trump lingo. Why has it taken so long for Obama to get round to this, do you think?
All the people in it, even the obviously innocent people in it, they've got nowhere to put them, nowhere to send them. Because, weirdly enough, if you come from some kind of tyrannical Middle Eastern regime and you spend 15 years with the Americans locking you up, saying you're a terrorist, there's a fair likelihood that when you get sent back to the nasty country you've come from, they might torture you to find out if it was true. And so they can't send them back to the countries that they're from because they'd be killed and tortured and jailed, and that would be an even worse human rights violation than Guantanamo is. So all they can really do with them is let them loose in America, and they don't really want to do that either.
But there were 800 people there originally, aren't there? And there's only 100 left or 98 people left?
Yeah, 91, I think, now.
Yeah, so it's going down, but not if Trump gets in. He's going to load it up.
It's very nearly at the stage where you can write a sitcom about it, isn't it? the last people in Guantanamo. Well, it's going to be a bit like Red Dwarf.
Radically, this is President Obama's plan to close Guantanamo Bay, announced just a rapid-fire 7 years after he originally said he'd do it. Still, I imagine it's like closing time at a pub. You've got the door open, everyone's got homes to go to, but the regulars are simply having too much fun. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has won the Nevada primary and wants to keep Guantanamo open for the housing of bad dudes. Obama's plan is to transfer the detainees to US federal prisons, where they'll be able to make lots of new friends. If by friends you mean convicted white supremacists who want to kill them. Or, as Donald Trump might put it, good dudes. But yes, Obama wants to get rid of it, the Republicans want to fill it up, making Guantanamo Bay very much the Polly put the kettle on of hideous international human rights abuses. Actually, I have no idea what the American prison system is like. I'm assuming it's broadly similar to Orange is the New Black. thought-provoking and occasionally erotic. 2 points to Kerry. And at the end of round one, Kerry and Hugo have 6, but Jeremy and Lucy have 7. We start round 2 with an announcement from the Environment Agency in Essex.
We will be replacing part of the sea wall around Point Clear to prevent erosion and increase flood protection. For more information, please contact Naomi Drown on the phone number below.
Our thanks to the Reverend Martin Flowerdew for taking time out of the pages of a P.G. Woodhouse novel. to send us that. Hugo, who's getting £3,000 to keep mum?
Mothers-to-be are going to be given their own £3,000 budgets to spend on NHS services. They're going to be in control of their own budget. So if they want to have some sort of slightly different sort of birth, like a water birth or a hypnobirth, or, I don't know, do it from an egg or something, I have no idea, then they'll be able to be in control of their budget and give it to the right bit of the NHS. But what excited me about this idea was the notion that actually, I was wondering if you decided to sort of have a home birth, that you could just keep the money, you know, do it on the kitchen table. And perhaps get a new kitchen table, and indeed most of a new kitchen, because, I mean, I personally would have been up for that. But no, it turns out you've actually got to give it to an accredited part of the NHS to decide which bit to go to. Thinking about it, really, that probably makes more sense that the mothers are in charge of which services they want rather than the fathers spending it on power tools and stuff. Well, I suppose. But what I don't understand is whether this budget kind of runs out, and if you do opt for, say, the water birth, and then you decide that's mental.
No, emergency caesarean is God's punishment for thinking you're going to have a water birth, isn't it? You know, there's people who are being really smug about what a great birth they're going to have, and, like, you know, it's going to be so good, they're going to put it back in and do it again so that all the kids can have a go at blowing the candles out. And then you just think, you are so in for an emergency caesarean.
Oh, yeah, I keep my birth plan to look at when I need a really good laugh. Oh, God, it was ridiculous. I mean, yeah, because I went... For a start, so I went to a hypnobirthing person. I paid £300. And what he said was, when your first contraction starts, picture a blue balloon. And as the contraction gets more intense, then you picture the blue balloon inflating. And then when you think you can't bear the pain anymore, you picture the blue balloon floating away and surrender yourself to a higher power. So I went into labour, felt the first contraction, and pictured £300 floating away.
It's not cheap, is it? Because you've got to get the pool, get a swimming pool in your house, get a dolphin to play the sitar. Because when it became a medical birth, I thought it was all going to get easy then. I thought, you know, I'll just sip tea and my baby will moonwalk out of my vagina, won't it? That's what's going to happen now, isn't it? That's like a slinky down the stairs. I didn't know...
I don't really understand what the point of this is. I
think it's basically because if it's the medical profession who are really, really in charge of it, then they'd start by saying, don't be mad, you're not giving birth in a paddling pool.
Most Lidos have got quite strict rules about it. No bombing, no birthing, no diving, no heavy petting, because that's how you ended up like that, isn't it?
I used a CD. I had a CD, which I've still got on my iPod, and it's really embarrassing when you do shuffle. At a dinner party, when one minute you look cool and you've got, I don't know, the White Stripes or something, and then suddenly you're a floating uterus. Expanding and contracting towards the ocean that's from you and your baby. It's really embarrassing. And you sort of polax and you're suddenly back there. It's awful if you're driving.
Is it a pretend £3,000?
It can be used like sort of store credits. And you can use the £3,000 on other hospital services, such as parking.
Parking's really expensive, isn't it?
I found we had a water birth, and
it's funny how women never say we, isn't it? It's just the men who say we. What's that about?
My husband.
Sorry, we paid for a water birth. I started putting up sort of a dry run, and then it said, when it is full, it weighs a certain amount, you need to check with a surveyor that your floor is strong enough to cope with this weight. Now, I'm not willing to part with that sort of expense, so that element of it was an absolute risk. My wife wasn't going to... But, I mean, do you know what? I mean, even if it would be a stressful time to discover it, who wouldn't want to sell her? Yeah. We filled ours up in the morning because my wife thought she was about to have a baby, and then didn't have the baby for absolutely hours, by which time it had got a sort of bit colder. You put a lid on. And then I was out of the house when her waters broke, and she She just went and attached the hose back to the hot tap in the kitchen, put the other end in the bath, in the hot tub, and then just got in it. And when I came back, I was like, do you know anything about water displacement? So I then had to ring the home birthing team whilst emptying about 27 litres of hot water, scooping it up and putting it out. It's extraordinary.
God, do you know what, Miles? Your birth sounds really awful for you.
Woman might be able to grow a human being in her abdomen and then drop it out of a tiny, impossibly small hole in the bottom of her body, but she knows flip all about the displacement of water.
I can only apologise, Lisa, for suggesting that there's even two sides to this story. The arrogance of it.
How many kids have you got, Miles?
Five.
How did you have the last four?
Using the same thing.
We've had let's go around. We've had I mean, this will sound very slightly middle class, but two home births, not into water. Smaller properties. Our twins were cesarean, and then most recently a water birth.
My daughter was adopted, and any woman who can see my nose in profile now will think that that was an incredibly humane and compassionate.
Glowingly, this is the plan to give expectant mums control over the £3,000 NHS cost of having a baby. A number of maternity units had been found to be inadequate, although, in fairness to certain failing health trusts, childbirth is a relatively new phenomenon. Mothers will not be handed the £3,000 themselves. Instead, they'll be allowed to draw up a budgeted birth plan, which, like all birth plans, will be abandoned the moment the contractions start, accompanied by cries of, turn off the relaxation tape and jack me up with morphine. I should never have let you near me. The National Maternity Review recommended that mothers should see just one midwife rather than a succession of strangers, although in some cases seeing a succession of strangers is what landed them in this regrettable mess to begin with. 2 points to Hugo. Lucy, whose new name is just the ticket?
Ah, yes. So they've been building a railway line that crosses London, a cross rail, if you will. But clearly it would be idiocy to call it cross rail. So they're going to call it the Gall Bless Your Mom Expressway. it was unveiled this week, so what was Crossrail is now going to be the Elizabeth Line. It seems a bit odd to name something after the last person who is ever going to use it. It's a bit like the Eric Pickles Velodrome. the Miles Jupp Street Dance Academy. I did like the fact, always the lady who carries herself with impeccable dignity, the Queen, so they unveiled it, and she dressed in the same colour, which I thought was kind of cute, but they unveiled it, and she kind of did the Queen thing of going, it's very nice. And I just wished that for once she'd just behave like a normal person and just gone, oh, my God, you named it after me! Oh, that is so beautiful, thank you so much! I think, in fact, it would have been quite nice if she'd gone sort of Kanye West about the whole thing, just going, yeah, because I'm worth it, right, yeah? He doesn't talk like that. Why did I say that? That was awful. Anyway, yeah.
They don't know. They're Radio 4 listeners.
Yeah.
They think Kanye West is a stop on the Metropolitan line.
What did the Queen say about it? Does anyone know what the Queen said about it?
She said, have you come far?
The Queen said she was delighted that finally, after all this time, there will be a quicker way to get from Forest Gate to Shenfield. adding, at last my work is done.
There was a woman as well called Elizabeth Line in America. There was a woman in New York who woke up going, what did I do last night? my name is now trending.
My friend had a fancy dress party and the theme was London tube stations. So, King's Cross is just, you go as an angry sort of king. Or High Barnet, you just wear a wig, very high wig. For some rue, there was Arsenal and Shepherd's Bush, that was a bit embarrassing.
What will the tunnel offer? Anyone know what the tunnel will offer? It will offer a new place for Prince Andrew to practice his dark arts undisturbed. Climactically, this is the news that the new rail service connecting London and the South East is to be called the Elizabeth Line. So London now has three lines named after queens: Victoria, Elizabeth, and good old Queen Docklands Light Railway. God rest her slow-moving soul. One of the good things about the new line is that if you have to stand for the entire journey, it won't just be inconvenient, it'll be a wholly appropriate sign of respect. The UKIP London mayoral candidate, Peter Whittle, announced, "We can only hope that the rail line proves to be as dependable in terms of standards and timing as the remarkable woman it is named after." And I think we can all agree with those words while at the same time thinking, what a fawning little creep. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they'd like to share? Jeremy?
This was sent in by Mr. Moore. Doesn't give his first name, very formal, we like that. Mr. Moore from Midgley in West Yorkshire, and it's from the Yorkshire Post. "Following reports of a gas leak, a Northern Gas Network spokeswoman has urged anyone who smells to call the National Gas Emergency Service."
Lucy.
Thanks to the lovely Mary Horsley, who sent in this notice which she saw in the kitchen cupboard of the church hall in Nailsworth in Gloucestershire. "Notice to staff, please rinse out teapots after use and then stand them upside down in the sink. On no account must hot bottoms be put on the work surface."
Kerry.
This is a cutting from the Daily Mirror sent in by Chris Fry from Ely. It says, "A primary school teacher has been banned from classroom teaching after turning up to work drunk, slurring her words, swaying and playing Pac-Man on her mobile during class. The teacher has denied playing Pac-Man."
Hugo.
This is sent in by Peter Kitney, and it's from The Orcadian, which is the local newspaper on the Isle of Orkney. And it shows just how much fun it can be in Orkney and just how exciting the news there is. It says, "An incident occurred last Friday afternoon at around 2:10 p.m. on the Brodgar Road involving a stationary bus and a stationary motorcyclist."
Thank you. Now let's take a look at the final score. Kerry and Hugo have 10, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Lucy with 11. Before we leave you, here is a text message received from Parcel Force, sent in by Katie Scaife in Bristol.
"Parcel Force attempted to deliver a parcel to you today. As there was nobody in to sign for it, we have left it with your neighbour, Mr. Steely."
And with that, goodbye!
Taking part in the news quiz with Jeremy Hardy, Lucy Porter, Kerry Godleyman and Hugo Rifkin. In the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleet. The chair's script was written by Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch, James Kettle and Benjamin Partridge, with additional material by Liam Byrne, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Radio Comedy production.